For Reno Public Radio News, I'm Michelle Billman. The heated national debate on immigration often brings up the question of why undocumented immigrants didn't just enter the U.S. legally. Our reporter, Natalie Van Hooser, has been researching this topic, and she's finding that it's not that simple. So she and I sat down to break down the visa process. Natalie, first, what different types of visas are there?
Right. There's many different types of visa categories, but some of the main ones are family-based immigration visas, employment-based visas, and visas for refugees and those seeking asylum. So for the purpose of our conversation, it's really relevant to talk about the family-based visas because those deal so strongly with the undocumented population.
So Natalie, how many family-based visas are issued for the U.S. each year?
That's where it gets tricky because there's not just one category of visas. When applying for a family-based visa, if you're a U.S. citizen and you're applying for an immediate relative like a spouse, unmarried minor child, or a parent, there's no numerical limit for the number of visas issued. But if your family who falls into what's called the preference system, there is a total limit of 226,000 visas given out each year, and that's for the whole world, not just for one particular country. So it's a quota system, and that includes family like brothers, sisters, and adult children.
How long does it usually take to get a family-based visa? What's that process like?
Looking at the visa bulletin for November from the U.S. State Department, if you look at Mexico as an example, if you're a U.S. citizen and you want to file for some of your family members who are in this preference system, some of the applications being processed right now were filed in April of 1996.
Wow.
Right. So I talked to a local family-based immigration attorney named Richard Flesher, and he's been practicing immigration law for 37 years. And he said about the visa bulletin and those wait times that sometimes applications take so long and he knows they're going to take so long that he doesn't even file the paperwork. It's just not worth it. He also explained that even if your application is processed, there are other barriers that can stop your application from going through. So here's what he had to say.
If that U.S. citizen parent dies in the United States, the petition dies. Maybe a year before they get to come, the citizen parent dies, it's over. They can't come in legally.
I also spoke with Jacqueline Longnecker, who's a local former immigration specialist, and she reminded me that there's a variety of variables for each person in the visa process that will determine the success rate of your application. So things like what country you're from, if you're married to a U.S. citizen, if you have U.S. citizen children, and if you have a criminal record are all things that will impact your likelihood of your application being accepted. And with things like a criminal record, they can make you ineligible for a visa.
Natalie, we hear about the need for immigration reform a lot, but what are some of the concrete solutions that are actually being suggested right now?
So people like attorney Richard Flesher want to see an increase in the total number of visas allocated, specifically in that family preference system. He thinks that that number of 226,000 visas each year is just too low for the number of people who are wanting to come into the country. And so with that number being low, he thinks that more people are encouraged to come into the U.S. illegally because they don't have the time or money to come in otherwise.
What else are you hearing?
Legislatively, DACA recipients and different nonprofits are advocating what they are calling a Clean Dream Act. So the Dream Act is designed to protect undocumented young immigrants who are vulnerable to deportation. So making a clean version of that means that the Dream Act is passed without stipulations for things like border security requirements. And then there's also the topic of sanctuary cities, which are cities which will not assist federal immigration agents to pursue detaining undocumented immigrants. Right now, Republican State Senator Michael Roberson is collecting signatures to put a measure on the ballot which would ban sanctuary cities in Nevada. On the other end of the spectrum, advocacy groups like ACLU are supporting those sanctuary cities and are fighting for reform in the immigration system to help people who are undocumented be able to stay.
Natalie, thanks for sharing your research.
Thanks so much.
Natalie Van Hooser is one of our bilingual reporters through a special partnership with Noticiero Móvil, which is a multimedia bilingual news outlet. It's run by the Reynolds School of Journalism. For Reno Public Radio News, I'm Michelle Billman.